It's Comedy at the Carlson Cast.
Woohoo!
With your host, Vinny Paulino. Sitting next to him is the exceptionally doughy Brian Ball. I am the completely biodegradable Nick Lavasser. And today we've got Emma Willman. Let's send it over to your host, Vinny.
How can anyone call you extra doughy?
I know, and I've lost 25 pounds, Nick. That was hurtful.
I'm sorry, bud.
I'm positively svelte.
You don't owe him an apology, Nick. You owe him no apologies. You're here actually contributing today. You don't know. You can say whatever you want about him.
Just sit there and biodegrade.
That's what he does.
Rot.
Hey, everybody. It's Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm Vinny Paulino, your host. We are coming to you live inside of one of the greatest comedy clubs in the world, Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester, New York. Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good morning, Vinny. I'm well. I'm going to answer you.
Okay.
I was too. I was just waiting my turn. Good morning, Vinny. My mic's being weird, but that's okay. I don't talk a lot.
I feel weird energy in here today. Like, I'm excited for this show.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Emma Willman, if you've ever seen Crashing, made guest appearances on that. She's been on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
And she is here for two more shows at Comedy at the Carlson.
She will be a very interesting backstory.
You know what? I'm sitting up so high in my chair. I got to lower it just a little bit so I'm in frame. Yeah, she does have an interesting backstory. You know, grew up in a small town, you know, moved all over the country, had some very interesting, weird jobs, and now is making a living as a comedian, which is the dream.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out how she got there in a little bit. But if you're watching live right now, don't forget during the show you can submit your questions on the Facebook feed. We have a new Facebook group. If you'd like to join that, just look for Comedy at the Carlson Cast and ask to join the group. You're in.
Yeah, and the more questions you guys ask, the less research we have to do.
And the less Brian talks.
That's true.
So it's got a double benefit.
Double benefit. We're all winners when you ask questions. Don't you forget it, baby. Don't you forget it. So let's see what's going on here at the club. Nick, we got these shows with Emma Willman. Who do we got? We got some big ones coming up, too. Next week, Andrew Schultz is going to be here.
Big deal.
Big deal from MTV. So I'm pretty excited about that. And
honestly,
I'm having a real good morning here. This is great.
Yeah, Ron Funches is coming up.
Yeah. Ron Funches.
Ron Funches is going to be really funny. I'm really excited to get to sit down and talk to Asif Manvi. I'm a huge fan. I love The Daily Show. And he was awesome on a series of unfortunate events.
I think you're just excited because I'm not going to be here.
Oh, I didn't know that. I will take up so much time. Ooh, I can't wait to talk to Asif Manvi about you.
Yeah, because we know each other.
Yeah.
Asif, let me tell you about this doughy man that usually sits here. That's not here today, but we got lots of thoughts about him.
Yeah.
So, very cool. Let's get to our sponsors and get Emma in here, shall we? Let's start off with our good folks at Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. I'd like to put some of that in me.
We just got a fresh supply, I see.
We certainly do. We got a nice bottle back there. I think Nick's got it.
Huh? I do.
Nick's got the booze, don't you, Nick?
Don't hump it.
Huh?
Don't hump the bottle.
Do whatever I want.
He won't show us him holding it, and oh, there it is. Delicious Iron Smoke. All over his face.
Now it's worth more money.
We'll sell you that bottle that Nick just rubbed all over himself. I don't even know what it retails for, but either way, it's worth it. I'll slap my car down for some Iron Smoke.
It's worth more now, I'll tell you that much.
Available in two varieties, Iron Smoke Whiskey, Applewood Smoked Whiskey, and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. It's a party in a glass.
Is that the phrase? Is that the thing?
I don't know. I made it up. I thought it was good.
It's not.
Okay. Sapori, baby. Sapori Cafe and Catering.
Wow. Coming in hot today.
Coming in hot. Sapori Cafe and Catering, one of our favorite places in the world, is inside the Powers Building Atrium, Tennis Club of Rochester, or you could have them cater your very own special event. You could also find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. And most importantly, how about you order on some Grubhub and have it delivered?
I'm not sure I can go there for lunch today because Nick has startled me.
Ha!
It may take a couple hours for my stomach to settle.
Try some of the whiskey. Three Heads Brewing. Our good friends at Three Heads Brewing. We have a big show coming up there we're going to announce a little bit later, but we're going to be doing some comedy stuff over at the brewery, actually. Comedy at the Carlson is going to do a comedy takeover.
I'm very excited about that. Great venue.
It is a fun venue. So come on down. You can check out music shows every Thursday night. They have a local artist in residency. Also, the beer is pretty damn spectacular, if you ask me.
Yes. I think if you ask anyone who has a brain, it's pretty damn spectacular.
If you like beer, try it. If you're coming to a show at Comedy at the Carlson, we always have three varieties on tap. So don't be afraid to ask. Give me some three heads. And let's see what else we got. Coming up, Pizza Palooza right here at Comedy at the Carlson. Who makes the best pizza in Rochester? You decide. Come on out. Tuesday, April 10th from 6 to 9. All these local pizza places are going to have venues. We're totally changing the inside of the club, and we're probably going to have about 15 to 20 different pizza places with slices, and you can go up and try and vote for your favorite. And the winner will be King Pizza Swinging Dick around here.
And
Pizza Swinging Dick.
Yeah, I guess.
Do they get a shirt that says that? King Pizza Swinging Dick.
If
I'd
you win.
That.
If you win, baby.
And you can enter a pool that I'm going to start of how many slices before Vinny drops.
Ooh.
And natural causes are just because I slip.
I've already taken the square of eight. It doesn't matter how you hit the ground.
Just, eight squares or eight full
eight
slices?
Eight slices. That's the square on the pool.
That's like a regular pizza. What are you, for real? You think I'm going to drop after one pizza?
I will not be participating because I have the gift of foresight, and I'll be busy singing That's Amore on a loop.
Nick's going to be our entertainment that night. It's going to be beautiful. When the moon hits your eye. So how about this for one night only? Coming up May 2nd, Dolph Ziggler.
The show off.
Ooh. The show off.
You get to watch Vinny Paulino and Brian Ball question their sexuality.
So many questions. Dolph's just so handsome.
He is.
But you know what, though, guys? Don't let your wife say that to you or your lady say that to you, because his special guest is Sarah Tiana.
Yeah.
And she's hysterical. She was on Chelsea lately. She's been on all sorts of stuff. So she's very funny. Dolph Ziggler, Sarah Tiana, one night only. I will be your host and MC. May 2nd, 7:30 p.m., Comedy at the Carlson. The tickets are on sale now. And I got to tell you right now, they're selling at Preacher Lawson-like levels.
Oh, hot dog. Yeah.
They're so, rocketing out the door.
Yeah. So get on that. Don't be stupid. Don't miss your chance. It's one night only. And then... let me see what else we got here. Here's another big announcement. Something to Wrestle With Live is coming. I know we're a little, we're kind of nerds about the wrestling stuff here, but this is a big deal. This is Sports Illustrated's podcast of the year the last 2 years in a row. They're making a one-night-only stop in Rochester. Buffalo and Syracuse people are already bitching on Twitter about how we got them over they did. And it's making me laugh really hard.
Suck it, Buffalo.
That's it. That's it, Syracuse. Suck it, Buffalo, Albany. You can all bite me.
Take that, Utica.
It's a great podcast. It's two genuinely very funny guys. It's one of my favorite podcasts.
So if you've never checked it out, if you like wrestling at all, you might get a kick out of it. It's pretty good. But if you are a wrestling fan, you already know about it, and you probably bought your tickets. So with that being said, Nick, we're going to get Emma Willman in here in just a minute. So why don't we kick it over to our upcoming promo reel. And we'll tell you about the shows coming up here at Comedy at the Carlson. And don't forget, you can start submitting your questions now. Emma Willman will be in studio real quick.
Woo. Coming up March 29th through the 31st, Emma Willman. You may have seen her on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. You may have also heard her on Sirius XM. Spring Break in Rochester, Nuts and Bolts Comedy Improv will be doing a one-nighter Saturday, March 31st at 8 p.m. Check the website for more details on that. Another special one-night-only event coming up April 4th. Upstate New York favorite Kristen Becker will be here. This guy might look familiar to you if you've ever checked out an episode of MTV's Guy Code. It's Andrew Schultz, April 5th through the 7th. Where to start with Ron Funches, April 12th through the 14th. The guy's been on At Midnight. He was a writer for The Crawl Show and a cast member. Drunk History. He's even been on New Girl and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Here's another one that should be familiar. Rochester's own Jamie Lissau. You may know him now from Netflix's Real Rob. He'll be here April 19th through the 21st. Last on my list today, but not least, Asif Manvi from The Daily Show is going to be in town April 26th through the 28th. Don't forget, for showtimes or to purchase tickets, you can visit carlsoncomedy.com or call us at 585-4-COMEDY. Hope to see you soon at a show. Thanks for watching.
If you like what you're listening to, be sure to check us out on Facebook Live every Friday morning. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. And you can subscribe to the audio version on Google Play and iTunes. Be sure to check out exclusive content on YouTube. And now let's send it over to this week's interview with Emma.
all the applause. I was
applauding.
I appreciate
it.
I was applauding, and then no one else started, and then I felt weird. It was really weird.
Then it's like you just got some hand twitch or something.
Yeah, I know.
I'm literally going to admonish you for just a terrible hand clap. That was
you didn't clap at all.
He was trying to get it started and see where it was going, and then he got shut down. But thank you.
Let's try again. Emma Willman.
Thank you, guys.
There we go.
It's already hard to know what to do, so I clap back at you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you kindly. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have Emma Willman in studio. You could see her for two more shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson.
Yeah.
Get your tickets, 5854-COMEDY. Emma, welcome to Rochester.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Is this your first time through town?
I was getting deja vu. I think I did the University of Rochester.
That's a place.
I'm pretty 99% sure I did that about 2 years ago.
Right on.
So I've been here, but not much.
All right.
It's an easy place to forget, in fairness.
Well, welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket
you.
Out.
Thank you.
So I have to start off by saying you are on the upswing.
Thanks.
You have a lot of great things happening.
Trying. You know what my theory on all that stuff is? Everything that you're doing is the result of what you were working on a year before.
Ah.
So it's like all the stuff that you're trying to put together and put in place and then have kind of build up. Of course, like, things can pop up, and then you got to, like, it's never... I'm not like a self-help guru type person, but it's never what you get, it's what you turn it into. So whatever you get, then you turn that into something and you keep pushing it, then about the next year it kind of pops up.
It's like planting a tree.
Planting a tree. Yeah.
It's like the people who have their own Christmas tree, like little garden. Every year they plant a different
one,
so they're getting ready.
Every time I've tried to actually plant something, though, I have killed it. Like literally, I killed two trees.
Sure.
So... Uh-oh. But,
Like out of spite or ignorance?
No, like I just
anger.
I'm a tree killer. I wouldn't water them or feed them right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't water them, then I'd overwater them.
Yeah.
Not a strong suit, but the shows will be fun.
Comedy business. Yeah. There, yeah. Now we're talking.
A botany rarely comes up in a comedy show.
Wow, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if you play your cards right, it might.
Depending on if you're playing the U of R or not, and there's you got to write some jokes for those nerds.
Yeah. Right.
So where do we start here? Emma Willman, this is great. You grew up in a very small town.
Tiny town. I grew up in a town of 2,000 people in really rural Maine. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I always say it was 800 people, and when I'm doing I don't know, like 2,000 or 800 would make any difference. They're both super small.
Right.
But I grew up there, and then I started comedy.
That's the difference between dating your cousins and having a little bit of a bigger pool to play around
in.
Right,
but 2,000 people is small.
Yeah.
Like, we had one stoplight, like a blinking red.
Not even a full-on stoplight, just a blinker.
I remember I used to get, like, in high school, I used to smoke a lot of pot. And I remember being stoned multiple times in front of the blinking red light, waiting for it to turn green. Just like sitting at the intersection, just being like, and wait, then people would have to honk. But you'd see stuff like people would be on their tractors in the road. Like, it was very...
There's the hot girl standing in the street again.
And rural Maine is rural.
It is really...
Like, that's with a capital R, rural.
People don't...
That's another planet.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like people don't get... When I'm like trying to talk about where I'm from, like I did.
I just imagine, like, when anybody says Maine to me, I picture like Amityville and Jaws, and just everybody eats lobster all day.
That Amityville town, bigger than my town, I think.
Okay.
Because they, like, when I Netflix did these new 15-minute special things, and I did one of those, and it's coming out in June. But right before we shot it, I talk about my hometown in it. Right before we shot it, I think it was like the day before, they go, these aren't the real names of people from the town. Because they said, I had talked about the cop, whose name's Scott. Or I talk about this, whose name's that. They go, these aren't real names. They didn't think it was real. And I was like, no, it's real. And those are the names. And they're like, you can't say the real names on here. That's a liability. So we had to change the names.
You're kidding me.
They couldn't believe that was that. They thought I was like exaggerating. And I was like, no, these are, the stories are exaggerated, but the names, the people and the places are true.
I love that. It's like a really realistic episode of Dragnet.
whenever I think of Maine, I just picture a grumpy old man saying, "You can't get that from here."
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That's like all that I imagine.
And he's the mayor. We didn't even have a mayor. But
really?
No mayor.
No mayor. Who was in charge? Who ran this asylum?
Me.
The Duke.
Maybe I should go back and try to be the mayor.
Ooh.
I bet you, I'd be creating the job, I believe.
Yeah.
So I could maybe be self-appointed. I bet I'd get like $100 a year or something. Like, yeah, you can be the mayor.
Do you just have to show up for a parade?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
We do have a town parade, 4th of July.
Yeah. Eight people. It's
eight
great.
Eight people coming out. We used to have a guy who would protest, you know, because people would still want to express their political opinions. And there'd be like a protest on the bridge, and it'd be one guy on the conservative end and like four people on the liberal side. And they would just be yelling at each other, you know, because it's like, but they know each other. The guy who was usually the more
conservative. All right, I'll see you at the bar.
Right. It was a guy named, it was Travis Bannister's dad.
Don't use his real name.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Miss John Bannister would be the conservative one. And then there'd be like five liberal ones, and they'd just be going at it. You know, it's like, do that in your living room. But they had to express themselves, so.
At the parade.
At the parade, yeah.
Was John just looking at his wife like, this is my one chance to shine.
Yeah, that's it.
He prepares all year long. Just waiting for his day. I'll tell him June 8th.
It's like Christmas Eve. He's just working on side ideas.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's going to be big. Like, no one sees it.
John, come be with the family.
Where are my markers?
What do you think? Do you think this sign reads better with the sparkles or without the sparkles? What do we do here? So, like, you're growing up in this small town.
Yeah.
How did you even get exposed to stand-up? Like, how did you end up on this path? Because it's really kind of interesting. Mm. You've been on a wild little, you know, 10 years here.
It wasn't the first entertainment I got into wasn't stand-up. I was really into music. Because my dad, when my parents got divorced, my dad was like, look, you know, to go to your mom's, go to my house, whatever. But if you want cable TV, I'll have that. So he got a huge like cable satellite TV package. And then and he was like, and you can watch as much TV as you want.
That's how your dad, like, you're kidding me.
Because he was kind of like, you know, when they did the custody, we were at my mom's more. And then I remember she, you know, my mom's like a really good cook. So I think my dad was trying to think like, what can I do to entice the kids?
Yeah.
And
entertain me when they're not here.
What's my hook? And he let me, this is making my dad look bad. I love my dad, but he let me have toaster strudel for breakfast.
What?
Yeah. Oh, and that worked. But
mom can't make these.
Right. I actually became a pretty fat kid actually that summer. I remember that. Toaster strudel every day.
That'll do it.
Yeah. But then I got into entertainment stuff because I was eating toast. I was living the dream. Dad's making me toaster strudel, watching TV, and then I started getting into music, and I always was doing poorly in school. Uh-huh. I'm really dyslexic, so I was like, not doing well in school, and then I started going, ooh, entertainment, that's something you can do, not through school, that can help, you know, like, I loved rap music, like crappy pop rap music. Like, remember Jermaine Dupri?
Oh, yeah.
I, like, loved that. I respected that model.
You could probably get him to open for you now if you really apply yourself.
He's still, like,
how's
mogul.
He doing? Like, what's he doing?
He's pretty good. I mean, he dated Janet Jackson. They've been going back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Does he still make, I mean, he's got to be so loaded. Because he had producer credit, right? He's a little mogul.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. He is a producer now, isn't
he? He's a producer, yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't even remember the last time I've heard his name in anything. Nothing personal.
Right,
against you, Jermaine.
That was a deep cut, a good reference.
And please don't use Jermaine Dupri's real name. We need
to protect his Romaine Dupri. Yeah,
Romaine Foupri.
It's a Romaine Foupri. That's right. Got it. Fake names on this show today.
I'm so bad at making fake names.
Oh, God.
It's always exactly it. I just like maybe switch one thing.
Yeah.
But.
So Fermaine Foupri is like your big role model at this point.
And I remember being like, I was like, now that guy's doing it. And my parents are just like, what the hell? So weird. My dad's a math teacher. He's a math professor. And my mom is a Swedish weaver. She just has a little weaving business, weaves table runners and stuff.
You could probably make a lot of money with that in rural Maine.
And she sells them at little fairs and things. But they are like, where did you come from? Because I was like, I remember being in the back of my dad's, like in the car. And I'm trying to explain to him, I'm like, look, this guy, Jermaine Dupri, he pops in on the songs and he hits people and they have like one or two hits, but he's the common theme here. You know, and my dad's just like, what are you talking about? And I was like,
should have gotten that cable package.
Yeah, exactly.
They were right.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm so 106 in Park. I remember I watching the charts and like TRL, and I would take bets on who was going to be big. I go, that one's going to be number six the next day. Like, I was just trying.
Were you just making odds?
I wanted to be a little music executive.
Corn's
I had no idea.
Gonna be at the top next week.
Yeah.
And
taking
so,
bets.
Realistically speaking, like how good of a
talent scout was I?
Yeah. How were your picks? How'd your picks turn
well,
out?
Here's the thing.
How were your brackets?
I was cheating because it was already people that are already in the top 10. So it's already people that are doing pretty well. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be big. It's like, yeah, they're already on the top. They're already on the chart. So I wasn't like picking anything that was some surprise to people.
Right.
You guys hear this Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, exactly. You guys heard of Michael Jackson? It's going to be big. And they're like, yeah, we know Emma. We're familiar. I remember Britney Spears, though. I remember thinking she had something. So.
A lot of people think she's got something.
Yeah, so just yeah.
She's got a lot of things.
I remember that baby one more time.
Baggage, though. Really. Mostly yeah. Baggage.
I love Britney Spears.
Well, who doesn't? God bless her.
God bless her.
She was just a sweet, innocent girl from a small town.
Yeah. Did you see the Christina Aguilera cover with no makeup? Do you see
no.
this?
No.
She's taking her makeup off. She's like, I mean, I'm wondering if maybe she secretly has a little bit of makeup on, but she's taking her makeup off. She did a magazine cover and it's like no makeup. Looks totally different, obviously.
The paper magazine, right?
Paper magazine, yeah.
All right, I'm pulling this up on my screen here, Nick.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
If you guys are in a
party. No, yeah. She doesn't look bad at all.
It kind of.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She does, her. But totally different.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but she looks good.
She looks young.
Yeah.
She's taking care of herself.
Who would have known she had freckles?
If people are into pop culture and you guys want to come to the show tonight, I want to get to the bottom of who bit Beyonce.
Ah!
Who done it?
I just heard about this like last night.
Yes.
I don't know the story. I heard that somebody bit Beyonce.
Tiffany Haddish put it out there. She said, I was at this event and somebody bit Beyonce on the face. And Beyonce didn't want to make a big deal about it. She just like, oh, that girl's crazy.
Right.
And didn't want to say anything about
it. She wanted to keep it moving. Because if someone bites you in the face, then that means they're nuts enough to like do a bunch of other stuff. So you're like, let's not rattle the face biter. Just keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get that.
Was it like a draw blood bite? Or was
no,
it like
it couldn't
a...
have been. It must have just been like a... Mm.
See, so when I first heard bite. This...
Yeah, it's a little playful nip.
I thought Marv Albert struck again is what I thought happened.
Marv Albert's
well, that's a
Beyonce.
We're going old school on that joke. I should have apologized to everyone.
I was wondering if Nick had an alibi that night.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the people. It's the wolf pack, the people that
stabbed Corey Feldman.
Yeah, they bit Beyonce.
Wait,
wolf pack.
Someone stabbed Corey Feldman?
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
He says he got stabbed, and then he went to an ER, and they looked at him, and the cops are like, you didn't get stabbed. And he was like, yes, I did. And they posted about it on Twitter in all caps.
Wow.
Yeah. And he blames this mysterious organization called the Wolf Pack.
Oh, no.
The guys from The Hangover did it. It was Zach Galifianakis and those other ones.
That's when someone around you got to be like, shh. Yeah. Like, no matter how much you think that, like, do not.
Yeah, but the last time we all doubted Corey Feldman, it turned out that he was fucking right. So
true.
Maybe this Wolf Pack
yeah, he's a truth teller, Corey Feldman.
That is a very. A prophet of our time is an overstatement, but. Maybe I'll buy his album to make up for it. I don't think he got stabbed, though.
No.
No,
I don't think
not.
He got stabbed.
But that's how I got into music stuff was what made me want to like get interested in entertainment. And then when I thought, man, this music thing's not working out, I went to
making all the right picks and no one's calling.
But then I went to college and then I was right after school I tried to invent something.
That's what I would like to discuss with you.
Yeah, tried to invent something,
didn't
work out.
A couple things.
First thing I'd like to do is compliment you. And, you know, when I do this show, we have to, like, look up information about everybody. Your bio is the best written bio.
I wrote it.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I bet you did. But, so I had one that a publicist wrote.
Uh-huh.
And then I had one that,
garbage, throw it out.
I had one that I had more than one that a publicist wrote. I had one that, like, a manager wrote. Like, I've had the professional ones. But they sounded so, like, salesy that I went rogue. Because I went rogue because I get into my website, which I'm sure I lock myself out of.
Right.
But I got in and I was reading it and I was like, this is so impersonal. And then I said, I just copy, pick, delete, and then I just wrote my own. I should probably have someone spell check it.
Didn't bother me at all. I thought it was interesting. But you decided after college that you were going to be an inventor?
Yeah.
Like Shark Tank style?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So I had, because the dyslexia, I didn't do well in school. And then when I went to college, I did really well. And all of a sudden I was like, I can do anything. So I was like, I'm going to try to invent something. And I took the first day job. I went on Craigslist and I responded to an ad that said, do you want to make more money than your peers? I said, hell yeah. So I took this job recruiting construction executives. No idea. I got fired, but I just took the first thing because I was like, I'm going to be an inventor.
How old were you at the time?
Right out of college.
So like you're 22, 20, 20-ish?
And my parents at this point are just like, what? Like, because it had been, I want to be a music executive.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, then I went to college. So they're like, okay.
What'd you go to, what'd you study?
Philosophy and marketing.
Okay, so.
So that my parents are then like.
A comedian.
So you have a degree in two kinds of bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All day long.
Exactly. Yeah. And my parents are like, actually, I did public relations, not marketing. So marketing, at least you're learning like math or something. Mm. PR, you're just, I don't even. But I was like, all right, you know, mom and dad, I'm going to school. And then they're like, okay. And then I left and I was like, okay, and now I'm going to become an inventor. And they're like, oh, God. So I took that the day job doing construction. I started going to Young Inventors meetings at night.
Uh-huh.
Tried to invent something called the Granny Grip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's your most famous invention.
Well,
let's play
put famous in quotes, but yeah.
Let's play a fun game with Nick. Nick?
Uh-huh.
Buddy, if you had to guess what the Granny Grip is, what would you guess?
So I'm thinking large rubberized claws to pick up the elderly.
To pick them up,
yeah,
like, just get them out of their wheelchair. Grandma's stuck again
because occasionally they're slippery.
Right. Yeah. This, yeah, get the grip your granny
when they get wet.
It was
know?
Supposed to be a glove that the grandmas would put in their hands, help them lower themselves into the bathtub.
Oh, uh-huh. That's actually a really good.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Don't slip the granny grip. Thank you.
Look at that marketing degree, pay it off.
How did you lose?
And I would say, oh look, like, you don't want your grandma to fall in the tub, like you get the granny grip. You know, that was my big idea. Yeah. But I tried to get a product prototype. I moved in with my mom. I was doing the job. And I was sending all my money to invent 1-800-INVENTION thing. And it turned out to be a scam. But at that point, I had told my parents, I said, I'm not listening to anybody because the granny grip is going to be big. I'm going to be in Kmart. And they...
And ironically, no one is in Kmart anymore.
I think that's when they were like, she's just out to sea. You know, they're like, what? So imagine...
Did they try to be like, why don't you watch TRL? They brought it back. Come and sit out. Let's
what
watch
happened to Jermaine Dupri?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, they were just so, just like... But then when I said, after the inventor thing, and then they go... I want to be a comedian. So the comedian was like the least weird of the three things.
Oh, I want to know what inventions you rejected, like that you didn't pursue as far as the granny grip.
Oh, you want to know one of them? But you can't judge me.
Okay. I make no promises there.
It's not,
I'll judge you in silence.
Yeah, Brian, you promise, and I'll just I'll load my gun
it's
over here.
It's not like a moral invention.
Okay.
Okay. This is way back. Okay, I want.
You're saying this is a CD invention.
It's a CD invention, and
you tell us more.
It's
interesting.
You know, I wanted to make caffeinated cigarettes where you like crush up caffeine and put it in the filter of the cigarette.
Great.
So then you smoke, and then you get because you know you always like smoke cigarettes and drink Red Bull and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, which you shouldn't do, and it's bad. But I thought if you just had the caffeine in the cigarette.
Two birds, one stone.
I would happily kill myself with those.
Yeah, that was my big, and I remember telling my...
We would happily let you die.
Oh, yeah. I remember telling my sweet little parents about it. They're like, you know, I'm going to do caffeinated cigarettes. And they're just, woo. But the best thing about when you try to have an invention is other people tell you what they tried to invent. And I had my first manager told me he tried to invent something called the Morange, which is like more orange.
As in shade of color or size?
Size, more of the orange.
Okay.
And I thought...
Called a grapefruit. Because
you
want to
have a manager that believes in you. So they're like, oh, you're going to be big. I want to work with you, theoretically. So the same guy that was like, Emma, I think you got it, was also like, I think the Morange is going to be big.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you might want to rethink your decision. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
It's commodities right here.
He kept explaining it too. He's like, it's like a bigger orange. I'm like, no, I get it. I get what it is.
All right, Emma, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to make it big.
The explanation is not the issue here.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's like a regular orange, but bigger.
More of the orange. You know, you're eating an orange, now you got more. Right.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to package them together. You buy the granny grip, you get a morange for free.
Oh, yeah, the grip is just holding the morange.
Yeah, so
and you need one.
You need the grip to hold it.
You know, I think you really ought to rethink this granny thing and just make it a morange grip.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what you need.
Grab your moranges. But I love hearing about it. So if you have an invention, I love talking inventions. I'm open to hearing them, and I won't judge you if you don't judge my inventions.
There's no judgment here. But I do love how we just judged the morange guy.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say we did just judge him.
But he wasn't kidding. he wasn't joking around. He was like, look, he was like, it could have been something. I just didn't have the, I couldn't pursue it.
I just imagine a guy like his wits out. He's like, I've been after this March thing for a long time.
I just can't get it right.
Yeah.
He keeps on hearing about GMOs, and he's like, damn it, we have the technology.
He was dead serious when he told me about it. I just had to be like, uh-huh. And then he like,
Okay, so you're an inventor.
Trying
to invent a music, former music executive. Yeah. You decide you're going to do stand-up. Could you please tell me about the very first time you got on stage?
Absolutely.
How was that, and how did you prep for it?
So it was, and the thing with the stand-up was, one great thing about stand-up is anyone can start going out to open mics. So that's why it's like there's so many people that are trying to do comedy, because anyone can go out and sign up and do it.
Yes.
Now, whether or not you're going to keep at it and then keep on working at it and critiquing yourself and try to do all the other things necessary, who knows?
Right.
But you go to open mic, it's interesting. But I went to the first open mic I went to was not a comedy open mic. I went to like a music one.
Ah, right up your alley.
Right
up
my
alley. Did you try to sign anybody?
Yeah, right. Like, you! I'm a comedian, also a big manager. I think you got it, kid. They're like, get this. But I went to this music open mic.
Ignore the granny grip thing on the card, but call me.
I went to this open mic, and I was going to chicken out. I went in, and I was going to chicken out, and then I went, and I had a couple drinks. And I said, I'll go back, I'll watch. My friend was hosting it, and he was like, someone just canceled. So, do you want to go up and do it? I went up and I did it, and the very first one I did, like, went well. At least I remember it went well.
Sure.
And then afterwards, people were like, oh, you should do that again, blah, blah, blah. But then, so then I thought I had 10 minutes of material. Like, I was like, oh, the comedy's I got it. This is it.
I'm going to mainline by next week.
I'm going to be in Kmart this time as a comedian.
I'm going to be the spokesperson for Kmart.
But then I
move over, Rosie and Teddy Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Rosie O'Donnell was a spokesperson. Is that when they went down?
I don't know. No, it was before that. It was like her and Penny Marshall were just running around pushing shopping carts.
Yeah, trying to save
about
it.
That. Yeah. Huh? Why would I did that music?
I'm just full of really shitty old references today. I got Marv Albert, Penny Marshall, and Rosie O'Donnell.
You are. Those are the kind of facts that I love. When people are like, "What do you know about?" I'm like, "I don't know about much, but the stuff I love about is just random, nothing facts."
Marv Albert bit a woman once.
Yeah.
Our business is failing. We need to appeal to young people. Call Penny Marshall.
Yeah. Right.
Get her on the phone post haste.
Look at the savings. All right, I'm sorry we interrupted you.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I'm going to do comedy, but man, then the first, after that very first one, then I started doing open mics in Boston, and it was very different from the first one I did. And then I took a comedy class.
Whereabouts was the first one? Just like
first one was in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. My friend Eli hosted this open mic. It's the super supportive one.
Sure.
Oh, you know what it was? So I did that one, and then I signed up for a comedy competition because I was like, ready for that.
Okay. Yep.
Signed up for a comedy competition, and then that was, I'd never even been in a comedy club before. And I remember it was such an overwhelming experience, but I remember walking around in the rain after the competition, smoking cigarettes, real dramatic. Probably wasn't even raining. I probably just like made that up in my head. Now as I recall it, but
as I walked the streets of London.
Yeah, right. Homeless all of a sudden, just forlorn. But then I was like, if I keep doing comedy, I wanna, place in that competition. But I ended up winning. I ended up winning it, I think, like 2 years later.
Okay.
Yeah. Dick Doherty's Beantown comedy competition. And that's when I said and then I moved to New York.
How did I not put that in the credits?
So who books that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dick Doherty.
Doherty. Hello, Mr. Doherty. My name is...
He's one of the, grandfathers of, legends of Boston comedy. Dick Doherty.
I've heard the name before.
He's a character. I like Dick Doherty a lot. Him and his wife, Kathy, were, super supportive.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And you always remember that. Like, I remember before I had ever done, a half hour before, Kathy would be like, just do it. That's very rare for someone to be like, you don't have half an hour. Like, I'd be like, I got 15 minutes. It's a long time ago. And she'd be like, just get up there and work on it.
See, that's rare. That's a luxury that not a lot of people get.
Bizarre.
That's not a,
I should set the scene that I would have to do it not in like their main room. I would like go out. They had like a couple side clubs.
Yeah.
So
yeah. The alley. Go out in the alley and work on your half hour.
Go out in the back. Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
when the kitchen staff's on their break.
And she kind of, she's like, I've seen you do enough time that you do have that time. But I was like, no, I don't. I realized, I was like, oh, I guess I do.
Yeah. We have a lot of like young comics that watch the show and people are trying to get into comedy. And comment to those folks. When anybody's on stage at a comedy club, if they put you on stage, it's because, you know, they expect a level of professionalism
Absolutely.
Out of you. It's not play around time.
Mm-mm.
And for them to put the trust in someone who's relatively new to go do a half of an hour, that
right.
is, I use this term a lot, rarefied air.
I'll never forget it too. But I remember being at like the 15 minute mark and then I had more material. So I think she had seen me like host and feature a couple times,
sure.
but I would always just do 15. So I think she'd seen me do more amounts of time.
She could double it.
You know what probably happened?
Late on.
I bet someone just canceled, and she was like, yeah, Emma, you can do it. I'm just thinking of that right now.
We're like, sitting here going, what a testament to Emma.
Maybe
you were just next.
Yeah, she's like, fuck, like, do I put the busboy on?
Yeah.
But they had this great room out in Worcester, Massachusetts, above an Italian restaurant. It's like,
what was the name of the place?
Dick Doherty's Worcester Escape.
Okay.
And it was fun. And you know what it is? Mark, from the club here, we've been talking about how sound is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That room out in Worcester has good sound, too, because the room here has awesome sound.
It does.
So everything is, it's like, it really makes it a conversation, communal,
yeah.
like, if you come tonight, you'll know what I mean about the sound, where it's like that.
Yeah.
And that room in Worcester has really good sound. So it's like comedians want to do that room because it's like you got to go to Worcester. It's on top of a tiny little pizza place, but it's like the sound is so damn good.
It's one of those things where it's not really thought of. People who put on comedy professionally know the two biggest things are your sound and your lights.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure people could see the comic.
Yeah, see the comic, and then they don't like it too light on each other because they want to be able to like – because I think when you laugh at something, it's kind of what you relate to a little bit.
Right.
So you don't want to, like, give out everything you're relating to. If some comedian's up there being, like, only anal, then you don't want to, like, be like, ah, you know.
Sorry, Mom.
That one. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you win a comedy contest. Mm-hmm. You're in Boston. You're doing stand-up. You are now, let's talk about what you're doing now here.
Okay.
So Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah.
You have your own show on SiriusXM.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we got going on.
Just
Crashing.
Crashing, but yeah. I did Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah, I got cast as a series regular in there.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
I appreciate
that's,
that.
That's a big deal. Congrats.
That was, and you know, the thing, too, is about with the state, a lot of that stuff came through being at the Cellar. Like when you just said that, you know, when you're on, you never know who's like watching necessarily, too, because I got a lot of that stuff just from being at the Cellar, and then someone like the Colbert Booker, her name's Jessica Pilot, was at the Cellar one night.
Uh-huh.
And you know, if you're a comic, you know, it's so tough to get a tape. Trying to get a 5-minute tape is such a like, so she came by and watched the set. And I remember it, I had done a college, and I remember driving in and then coming in and like just like being like, I'm just gonna run to the Cellar, do the set. And then she was there that night, and then that's how I ended up getting Colbert.
Wow.
And I didn't know that she was.
Now
you did one of the live Colbert.
Did it live?
So, yeah.
Oh, so network television live.
Yeah.
How's your mind going into that? What are you thinking? I mean,
you know what happened?
They gave you. Would you have tight five kind of
I
deal?
I was so grateful though because I was supposed to do it that Friday, right?
Okay.
And I had like my mom and a bunch of cousins and I had a bunch of people come to the Friday show.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be me and Bruce Springsteen was the other guest. So I got bumped by Bruce Springsteen, but it was so thank God. Because I got to go, I got to check out the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went back on, they're like, we'll have you back Monday. I went just myself because mm-hmm. I had too much going on. Plus,
yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, so he's got a huge amount of fans. The only people on the show are me and him, and they have a car pick you up. So I have a car pick me up, and it's like a tinted windows, and I pull up to the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Springsteen fans think it's Bruce. So people start going nuts. Like, they're like, and I'm like, this is not for me. And then I put my foot out of the car. Ah, and then I, by the time I step out, you hear, oh. And I'm already like, you know, like, nerves running high. And you just hear, oh. And then I like start to like shuffle in, and someone goes, "Boo!"
Oh
no!
So I was like, "Oh my god, I'm already getting like I've never been booed." I was like, "I can't believe I just walked in, I got booed." Like that's how pissed they are that I'm not Bruce. So it turns out Bruce Springsteen's fans go, "Bruce." That's a chant of theirs,
right?
Someone told me, like, right when I got in, someone was like, "That's what they do." And I was like, "It's okay, it's okay."
And then they looked at the other person and said, "We covered for it. It's okay. Yeah, yeah. We got it."
But it is something. And then I noticed it while they were waiting for him to come out. People started going, Boo Roos. So it's like a thing they do.
Yeah, that's not a normal thing.
It's not a. It's like, it's a Bruce Springsteen fan. They were
Can't
all
you
going,
just yell Bruce? Why do we got to hurt people's feelings?
So I was so like, oh my God. So I was so happy that then when I got to go back, it was just like...
Well, for now, whenever I get booed, I'm just going to assume it's a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Oh, yeah, you love Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. No, Springsteen fan. Good
Bruce
for you.
Bruce Springsteen fans.
You'd be doing that a lot, Brian. I got to say, we have a lot of comments coming in on the Facebook
What's
Live right now.
What's going on, guys?
Let me tell you right now. Let's see what we got here. A lot of love.
Be
Christine Nunez O'Connor says, "Love Emma." Mindy Keebler says, "Hey, Emma, hey.
Hey. Oh, hey, Emma, hey." That means she listens to Taylor Strucker show. "Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey."
That's the saying on there.
All right. Yeah. I'm with it. I'm with
you. Because I wouldn't say, "Hey,
I'm
girl,
cool
hey.
And hip."
I wouldn't say that me naturally, you right. know? And then now I do.
Liz Colburn would like me to ask you about your extensive knowledge of whitewater rafting.
"Hey, girl, hey." That means she listens to the show, too. Let me tell you, Liz. I started writing about that because on the Taylor Strucker show, you guys were like responding to it. So what it is, you know, when you go on like dates and stuff and they ask what your interests are?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any interests.
Sure.
I got nothing. I'm just trying to make it in show business. You know what I mean?
Jermaine interest. Dupri.
I'm very interested in signing young talent to my non-existent record label.
Exactly. Like I like watching like Netflix documentaries about like drug addiction. That's about it. So I can't say that on a date. You know what I mean? I got no interest. So what I started doing to sound more well-rounded and to like be try to be like impressive and adventurous is I say whitewater rafting.
Oh.
Have you ever actually been whitewater rafting?
I did
rafting?
It like 3 times when I was in high school.
That's 3 times more than most people.
So it's my interest.
But so that's just your lie about
and then
yourself.
But I stretch it to be like it's something I'm actively interested in because it sounds like, you know, adventure-y.
And does it work?
Well, I'm single, so, you know, maybe right. I gotta come up. What's another interest I could have?
Parasailing.
Comedy.
But that's the interest. Yeah, because I'm all with, that's my interest. But then they ask, they go, "Yeah, but like, what else?"
Oh, because that's what you do for a living.
Maybe like now, okay. Taming. Yeah.
Amateur arm wrestling.
Ooh.
But then they could ask me to, the thing with whitewater rafting, if they're like, "Oh, I'd love to see you do it."
Oh, yeah,
then
you
I'm
can't
like,
demonstrate
the river's
it.
Closed, so you can't come. Like,
yeah,
I got
yeah, you
know.
Can't demonstrate
like,
it right
the most
there.
Generic yeah. one you could say is like running or something stupid like that. Everybody
Fencing.
Runs every now and again.
Fencing.
And
then, who does that?
Ooh.
That's when nobody's going to, yeah.
No one's going to call you out on fencing.
Yeah, fencing's a good, because running, they could be like, "Oh, I want to go running." And then I'd be like, fucking.
No one has a sword fight.
I'm just throwing that out
stuck
there.
Stuck on a run. Or like reading too. Like I would love if reading was an interest, but.
Parkour.
What's that again?
That thing where you jump around creatively.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
see,
parkour,
but making that up.
No,
no that's
they
a real
jump
thing.
From building to building and they do like
oh,
little
no, no,
rolls.
No, no,
and
no,
yeah,
no.
What,
they
no,
ask
no
you
one's going to want to go with you to
oh,
do
yeah.
it.
No,
it's
they'll
dangerous.
Be like, do a flip.
Also, when I cross the street, I'm always one of those people where people are like, "Wait a minute!" Like, because like, I'm always like, look one way, so they're gonna be like, "Really?" And you can finagle jumping from building to building that you can't even, you know what I mean?
Cross
like,
the street.
Get this. But yeah, that would be a good one. Maybe, why don't I'll try saying that and see how it goes. See what I get, because right now I'm trying everything. Or if anyone's got any tips on what do you say when you're doing online dating, what do you say when you message the people? What are you supposed to say? Because I just say, "Hey, how are you?"
That's... Well, I've been married for 10 years, so I'm not allowed to say, "Hey, how are you?" to anybody.
Yeah. He's not allowed to look anyone in the eye. Yeah.
Are you married?
Yeah, yeah. All right. We've been together quite a while, too, so I don't know. I would just... I think last time I did it, I just did, like, "Hey,
I'm a big fan of sending pictures of dogs.
Really? And it works?
Sometimes. It's
That's
weird.
That's such a tricky thing. Mm-hmm. So you just send the girl, like, a picture of, like, a puppy?
Yeah. And so the kind of mutual, weirdo. I did it like once.
How old are these? Yeah, well, yeah, because I'm trying everything.
Hey, man, sad 30-year-olds love puppies.
Yeah.
Well, that's a solid point.
Yeah, man.
Nick is our love expert, surprisingly.
Yeah. Actually, he's a busy guy.
We live vicariously through Nick sometimes.
I'm open to any ideas.
Any ideas. So what's the story with all the apples that I'm getting pictures of on this here now?
Oh, those are all people that listen to... Those are Taylor Strecker's show. Listen, people, that when they bring the apples to the shows, I eat them. And then, like, I eat the apples. But then, this is only going to... But I've been eating the apples, but then someone said not to... They've started sending me pictures of Snow White. But if it's a little effort that ate it, I'm eating the apples.
See, I wouldn't trust an apple anybody gave me because I heard those Halloween warnings as a kid of all the psychos with the razor blades.
Did that ever actually happen?
I don't think so.
It happened in Halloween Part 2.
How do you even get the razor blade in the apple?
You have to grow it very carefully. It's a long con.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Seriously. What it is was I went on a date with this person. They weren't very nice. They were like this like kind of bitchy hairdresser. But I was going to go get my haircut at her salon.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going over there and I was like, hey, like I'm on my way. Like, do you want any snacks? And she was like, yeah. So I was like, great. So I got apples, but I also got a bunch of groceries. Because I was like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I did my grocery shopping, but I got her some apples and maybe some pretzels. And I put them on top of my grocery bag. So I walk into the hair salon. Hairdresser's very attractive. And I come in. She's like, hey. And then she's like, oh, my snacks. And then she takes the grocery bag. And then I got flustered and should have said, no, some of those are mine. But I didn't. So I just gave her my damn groceries. So
then this you bitch, gave her a bag of your groceries.
I didn't know what to do. She was like, oh, this is a lot of snacks. I've got like ham in there, kombucha. Like I've got like groceries. And it was a bag of groceries. And she's like, oh my God, like you're so considerate. And then took it. And then she's texted me the rest of the day, like, these snacks are saving my life. It's like, those are my groceries.
I'm going to die this week.
So I would have given her like two apples. I wouldn't have given her like a bag of apples. You know what I mean?
Apples.
And that did not work out. But then, yeah, so people have been bringing me apples sometimes to shows, which I appreciate. Thank you.
Yep.
Bring Emma some apples.
Bring me some apples.
Two more shows this weekend.
Yeah.
One tonight, 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow, 7:30. Get your tickets at 5-8-5-4-COMEDY or carlsoncomedy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Willman, what's next for you? What are you up to
next?
What's next?
I got my Netflix thing coming out in June.
Awesome.
And
what's
then,
the name of the show so we can keep an eye out for
it? It's called The Quarter Hours. And I think it's a few comics and we all do 15 minutes. So it's a boom.
I love that actually.
It's fun. Yeah, I like it too because it's a good, you know, it's a good little like intro. You know what I mean? Because when you don't know who someone is, if it's your first time seeing someone, committing to an hour, that's a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, when you have comics who are, you know, have worked their way up to get to a Netflix special, they can do 15 minutes and they can probably
put
on a killer 15 minutes.
And then also you got tons and tons and tons of material left over. Like there's like no stress in, because now I actually haven't been doing, even though the special's not out, I haven't been doing the jokes that are on that.
Right. So you could structure your act a little bit differently. And not only that, you only have 15 minutes out there, so the other 45 you have, boom, it's game for another special.
You've got to change the whole... I've been restructuring the whole thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I used to always kind of like start with the same flow of stuff. Now I got to...
Mix it up a little bit
now.
Rejigger it. You and my mother are the only two people I've ever heard say rejigger. I've never heard anyone say that before. I thought it was one of those words she made up.
No,
I think it's quaint.
Woman.
I like it.
Yeah.
They say that a lot rejigger. Up there in Maine.
Yeah,
rejigger. Are there any sayings?
We got to rejigger the red light.
It's like, yeah.
It's just not like that. Are there Rochester sayings?
Sure, garbage plate. It's about all we got.
What's a garbage plate?
Oh, don't get you started.
Explain. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Actually, yeah, I'm wearing my garbage. We named our baseball team.
For one day.
Yeah, for
one day.
Is that
like a...
So what it is, right,
it's like tater tots.
So there's like hash browns and then mac salad, right? And then they take like either two hot dogs or two hamburgers or cheeseburgers, and then they put hot sauce on top of it with onions and like mustard. And then it's just all on there to kill you.
In a pile.
And
with
it's called
hash browns being the foundation.
Yes.
With mac salad on the other side.
I don't know how you can go wrong.
You can't.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah,
you
if
can't.
You start out with hash browns.
It's our buffalo wing.
Though, just saying,
if you start out with a hash brown, then I mean, yeah,
it's the key ingredient to life.
Vinny used to look a lot like me, and then
I discovered how great they are.
Every restaurant will essentially
look at her face. She's looking at just so confused.
Sells them here, Rochester.
And I love Frank's Red Hot. That looks good.
I'll go get one. Yeah, we'll go right. We'll go after the show. We'll hook you up.
That's really good.
Before garbage plate, after garbage plate.
Yeah, right.
Literally, we are so known for the garbage plate that, like I said, we named our baseball team the Rochester Plates.
I wonder how the garbage plate came about.
Alcohol.
Somebody dropped a bunch of shit.
One place
came up with it, Nick Tahoe's. So I guess there, you know, no lawsuits 100, for us.
100 years ago it came up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you start out with hash browns on the bottom of the plate, then... You know?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Who doesn't,
pretty
love,
much,
a, who doesn't love a hash brown?
Throw some ice cream on there, gummy bears. You can't go wrong. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I would
we're
try
on the same
it.
Page on this, I think.
I've been really trying to be healthy recently, and it's so hard because you got stuff like that out there that you want to eat.
Yeah. Try living here, and it's everywhere. Every place you go, they have their version of a plate
garbage
on their menu.
Plates?
Yeah, it'll be. But here's the thing: like this, Nick Tahoe's place is a little litigious, so you can't just
can't call it garbage.
You can't call it a garbage plate. So you go in place, it's like it's a trash pail plate.
It's a rubbish plate. Yeah,
it's a rubbish plate.
Anything that ends in plate, though, here, that's what. That's
right.
What
it's a mound of shit.
Like a code.
Yeah.
On a plate.
Yeah.
So I have one question, and I'm gonna let you get out of here. That we ask everybody every week. And just because we do have a lot of new comics to watch the show, and we think it's important that we give them the best advice we can from some of the best, and you're an upcoming comic who has really worked hard and knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
Mm.
So the question is very simple. If you met somebody who was going on stage for the very first time and they asked you for advice, what would you say to them?
Okay, great question.
Thank you.
Now, two things. I would say something very different to someone who is literally, if you were about to go on stage for the first time, my advice to you would be very different than if you were also just starting out.
Don't do it.
So that wouldn't be my, if someone was just going on stage for the very first time, all I would say, I go, look, you can do no wrong right now. Just get up there and do it. Because it doesn't matter. Like, people put so much, it doesn't matter. It's just get up there, whatever you say, you're not going to know, you're having no idea. It's just like getting through the weirdness of getting up there for the first time. Just get up there, you can do no wrong.
Because you're 100% right.
People are like, you're like, I got to do that, I got to have, I mean, you do that, everyone does that with everything. I think that's why it's so hard to get started in anything.
Right.
Like, I matter of fact, I should apply that same thing to myself about like drinking more water. Like, I'll just be like, just start doing it. Just do it. Just do it. Nike, I was about to say. It's a good slogan. Didn't think of it. But yeah, just get up there and do it, and you can do no wrong your first time doing comedy.
Right.
Now,
and people give you all the leeway in the world your first time, too. They'll just go, hey,
yeah,
it's this.
Yeah.
The host will always get that cheap pop bringing you up. Hey, mm-hmm. this person's first time. And everybody's
right.
like, yay.
Move the mic out of your way. You don't want the mic stand blocking you. Hold the mic so you're speaking into it. Don't smush up on it. That's how you become a Ninja Turtle.
You get an applause break for me.
Just move that.
Get that mic stand out of the way, baby.
Because that's one of the first things where it's like, oh, this person's kind of green if they're just like awkward with the mic. That's something you can take ownership in. And yeah, don't get your mouth up on it. That you know, and hold it so people can hear what you're saying and see your facial expressions, you know?
See, that's like some great stage mechanics there. And the thing is, folks, you don't realize how important it is to move that mic stand
until you
watch somebody who doesn't move it.
Yeah, and then you're like,
you can't see them right, and it just creates this weird barrier that doesn't need to be there.
Literally, I think the second sentence you ever said to me when I met you was, move the mic stand, dummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was probably the second sentence.
Move the
you
mic
ever said
stand and then hold the mic like this. And then.
All I said was dummy. That's all I called you?
Yeah. Okay. No, your first sentence was, what the fuck was that?
Oh.
Because it's not pretty. You know, the first bunch of times when. And then also, there's something called the light. And when someone lights you, it means you wrap it up.
Correct.
So the first time getting out there is just mechanics.
I love how Mark, the club owner, sitting there going,
uh-huh.
That's right.
Yes.
Watch out for the lights.
Yeah. And it. I, you know, there's different clubs of different lightings. I remember the first time I was ever at Gotham in New York. I blew the light because I didn't know where it was.
Sure.
And it was one of those things, sometimes the light just goes red, sometimes it blinks.
Yeah.
I got confused. And I went over because I didn't know, I was just confused.
Sure.
I was like, oh, the next person must not be here. Guess what? the next person was there because it was a drop-in, and it was Jerry Seinfeld.
Who's this girl going over her time?
Yeah.
Did she see the light?
What is the deal with this little girl?
Yeah, the girl, the manager, Ed, was like, did you not see the light? And I was like, so now I'm always so like, where's the light? Then I see
and see,
it.
That's another thing. Ask if you're going to go to an open mic. Just ask, say, hey, how much time do I have? And can you light me? Or how does that work? You might not even know what that is, but whoever's hosting will explain it to you.
They'll
know. That's,
and never be, Michael Che actually said this to me. Michael Che's from SNL. When I was for a long time I was hosting stuff. And when I would light people, sometimes I'd be like, oh, I don't know if they saw the light. And then I'd feel weird lighting them again. Mm-hmm. So I said to him when he got off, I go, sorry, I didn't know if you saw the light. And he goes, never apologize for doing your job. He's like, if the person doesn't let you know mm-hmm. that you got lit, keep lighting them.
Yeah. And a lot of the time.
If they don't give you the nod.
Yeah, and there's an unspoken nod that you'll see sometimes when you're watching stand-up live.
The backwards nod.
Or a point.
Which is funny because then it just looks like the comedian like loved what they just said.
That was great.
Yeah, because they see the light and they go, I see, I got it. Yeah. But then no one knows what's going on, so they're just like.
Right. And if you're watching a show and you ever see somebody flash a light from the back of the room at someone from either a cell phone or something like that, it just it's a timing thing. It's not anything rude. That's all it is.
They're not saying hi. They're not their little buddy. Yeah. Like, hey.
It's just like a one if by C kind of thing. Just so you know what's going on.
My sister was at a show that when I just started, and I was hosting it. So she saw me lighting people, and then she saw them get off. My sister and I look just alike, except for she's very, very feminine. But we look alike. This guy on stage, and she didn't like him. So I look over. I see my sister going with her phone. She was lighting the guy. And I was like, you can't do that. And she's like, that's how you get them off the stage. And I was like, no. Only I
can
light people.
That's how I get them off the stage.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've been known to bust balls with my friends with that. Like, they'll get in that. Yeah, like, he'll go up there like, hey, everybody, my name's Brian Ball. And I'll just stand in the back of the room and wave a light at him.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice if we could just do that in our real life?
Yeah, just
be like, you know what? Time's up.
Somebody's taking too long in line in front of you at McDonald's, and you could just light them.
Just light them.
Wrap it up.
I need my McBurger. My sister tried to give him the light.
Yeah.
If someone wants actual other comedy advice, I got a lot of thoughts on the business.
Well, let's talk. I'm listening. Lay it on me. Throw me whatever you want.
Yeah. You know, it's my favorite thing to talk about, but I think it applies to other stuff. But I think you have to be, now at the risk of sounding like obvious, but it isn't, because I think you can never hear it enough in whatever you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And take it with a grain of salt. For whatever it is, just work to try to be undeniable. Make yourself an undeniable asset. So if you can't offer something right now with your comedy, getting good at stand-up comedy takes a lot of time. Also, making it in the business, the actual stand-up is a smaller part of it. You have to be able to get integrated into other mediums, depending on what your goals are. So, if your stand-up isn't a place where you enhance a show and people are asking you to do something, figure out something you can offer. When I first got to New York, I interned at a comedy club doing their social media so I could get real late night spots. And then that's how I built up time. So then I was an asset to the show. So then they wanted me as a comedian not doing any of that stuff. But it's like, why would they? All comedy clubs are full. Club Funny, closed. At capacity. We got enough funny people. So what are you going to do that is different and enhances it in a way that someone else is?
Well, goddamn.
You know what I mean?
Listen, I got to jump in here.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Or am I wrong? So he knows better than I do, but that's what I think.
We actually have a very mutual friend who was a big agent at a very major company, and that was actually the first thing we discussed when she landed as our mutual friend,
Tova,
who's now moved on to management. She's no longer an agent. And this is exactly what Toba Silberman, who's awesome. If Toba, I love you to death, texted me today. She asked how I loved Emma. And I said, oh, my God. And this is exactly what Toba Silberman said.
Because Toba and I used to work together when she was my agent, and then now she is not.
This is a direct quote.
All right.
Big manager in the business. She's a fucking star in the making. She's one of the few ones where I wasn't bullshitting you when you should book her now before she blows up. And that is true. So if you guys, you're going to have a very limited time to check her out before she blows the fuck up.
So it was nice having you on the show this one time then.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I thought that you'd
want
to hear that quote.
You got to do, people get so obsessed. I got to get an agent. I got to get a manager. Well, here's the thing.
You're just going to give them half a quarter of your money.
And all the thing is those people can only be as helpful as what you provide them to work with. Because I was always like, I gotta. And the thing is it's like, okay, like, then once you do get those things, like, well, I had an acting agent. I do now. But it was like, I didn't fucking know how to act. So then it's like, that's rough, you know. But then it's like, you learn how to, then put the time in, learn how to act. Then we get a little traction on these acting auditions. Like, they can't, let's even take it back. If you don't get a headshot, then how's your acting agent going to send you out? You have to do every single thing. They get 10% of the money because they're only supposed to do 10% of the work. So you have to do, no matter what you're doing, you have to do it. So you're doing, like, the first agent I got was a college agent because one of the guys I interned for, they ran a comedy thing, put me on a thing, and then I got Access TV from it. And then you can't just message managers and agents. They don't, like, check their email. They're, like, it's closed for, like, referrals. So I sent it to a bunch of college agents, and one guy goes, "You look like Ellen. I want in." Yeah. Rich. That's his name, Rich.
That's how you should start all of your personal conversations. Yeah, right? I look like Ellen and you want in.
And he goes,
"Maybe I should make myself look more like Ellen."
He definitely didn't even watch the tape I sent him. Because then once we started working together, he goes, "So what do you talk about?"
Oh, Jesus.
And I remember he goes, "Would you dance like Ellen when you come out?" I said no to that, but he goes, "You look like Ellen, I want in." And then
do you want to book you as, like, Ellen, like, playing an Ellen character in a scary movie spoof or something? Like, what was he thinking?
He just did colleges, and he wanted me to get on the college circuit, so he thought the kids would think the same thing. And when you do colleges, so then you try to get into these things called NACAs, where you showcase for other college kids. So if a college agent can get you into a NACA, then they're going to have incoming leads from that.
Right.
So he was basically waiting to see if she was going to get into some NACAs. And that first year I submitted, I did get into some NACAs. And those are fucking bizarre. It's like you, a magician, a guy that makes pancakes that look like your face, that's more popular than you could ever be. Dan cakes. Like, I remember standing at a NACA and, like, kids would come up to me, but, like, nothing. Like, there's just people going. I'm like, where are they going? Dan cakes.
Dan cakes.
And you know what? I went by and he's fucking good.
He's good.
He's good.
Makes them to look like your face?
Spitting image.
Like, so he makes, like, caricatures out of the medium of pancake.
And he does it quick.
Mark, can we book this guy? What are we doing here?
Yeah, he's amazing.
You're really dropping the ball here, Mark. No, why isn't he here yet?
It's fucking weird. But, like,
are they delicious?
They're good. Yeah. Because I was eating it angry, just like...
Eating your own face?
Yeah.
Were you looking at it and go, damn it, I do look a little like Ellen.
That's got to be weirdly therapeutic.
Yeah, I was going to say, there should be, like, some kind of therapy that involves just solely, like, I can fix just your mental problems. Just
like
eating,
you eat the
eating your own face in a pancake.
And then you scream.
And you'll feel better.
But you know what?
Yeah, and scream cakes, and punch a wall.
Making pancakes, how you stand out of that? Making pancakes, and then freaking Dan Cakes, I've never even really talked to this guy, figured out a way to get himself in because that's like an undeniable thing.
Yeah.
And there's Barry Katz has a podcast and he always says that, be undeniable. And it's always like, well, what does that mean? You figure out what it means, make it so, you know. But it's not easy if you can do something else. But being undeniable or trying to be applies to whatever you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Like if you're like a waiter and you're just like so good, then people are going to be like, man, we need you to train the other waiters. Boom. You moved up.
Right. You're absolutely right. You get what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be big, you got to put out a big performance.
Yeah. And no one will give you anything either.
That's exactly right,
too. Because people will be like, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. And it's like, well, what are you doing to try to get it? Because then once I had a college person, then I was making some money so that I could contact managers, and whether they're like however they felt, I could say I'm making this, and then they could get a percentage of it. So then my first manager was the Morange guy. Stu. He's not in the business.
Don't use his real name.
He's not in the business anymore, actually.
I believe you. Yeah. I 100% believe you.
Well, yeah, he's raking in the Morange money. He doesn't need to be in it anymore.
I loved that guy.
We could do lemons next. We could do lives. We could go all day.
It's endless.
The Malemons.
I always wonder what happened to that guy.
The Water Morin.
I'm guessing drank himself to death at a hotel room in Daytona is my guess.
Man, I love that guy, though.
So, Emma Willman, two more shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. Tonight, 7:30. Tomorrow, 7:30. Get your tickets, 5854 Comedy or carlsoncomedy.com. I really enjoy talking to you today. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. And thank you, Lil Effers, for writing into Taylor Strucker Show Tuesdays, if you guys are interested.
I'll give it a listen. Absolutely. Plug away.
It's a, well, my, I've got a podcast called Inside the Closet, and then Taylor has one, Taste of Taylor, and those are free. Taylor Strucker one is subscription. But check those out, and if you like them, then subscribe.
Excellent. Excellent. So come see Emma this weekend, and Brian Ball, adequate as usual.
Thank you. Thank
you. Nick, you're a shining star. You're a shining star, Nick. Hit the credits. Let's get out of here. See you next week, everybody.